You're listening to Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. We've all heard amazing things about 3D printing. The University of Michigan School of Medicine manufactured a replacement part for a patient. Manufacturers find new uses almost every day, and artists are finding innovative ways to use the fairly new technology. The Grand Rapids Art Museum will soon hold an exhibition showcasing one of the earliest uses of 3D technology in fashion design. Iris Van Herpen has designed cutting-edge garments for Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Bjork. Joining us to talk about 3D printing technology in general is Andrew Dent with the School of Visual Arts. He'll be speaking at the Grand Rapids Art Museum next month about how we make things and how we might make things in the future. First, how soon before a 3D printer is about as common as a computer or a microwave oven in homes?
That's a good question, Lester. Not quite yet. And I think the reason for that is one main one. And I think it's usability. Everybody knows how to use a microwave, knows how to use a computer, because you simply walk up to it, and it's relatively intuitive. You've got a couple of buttons, but with a computer, you know that you can type a few buttons or use a mouse, and you can get really what you want. And if you mess up, it doesn't matter too much. Also, with a microwave, you know that you can put certain things in. There's sort of a general consensus. I shouldn't put anything metal in there, but I can put in, you know, and I've got to make sure that some of it has water in it. So that's it's easily understandable. 3D printing is definitely an area which has come out of engineering and has not yet managed to make the jump over to usability that such as someone such as myself, who maybe doesn't have a lot of experience in 3D printing, I wouldn't be able to use it without messing up badly. I was talking to one of the people who used to work for Hershey when they were developing the 3D chocolate printer, and he said that, you know, it was a wonderful experience to sort of learn how to 3D print chocolate. But he said that he took one of the printers home, and him and his, I think, 14-year-old son, who's had quite an engineering sort of mindset, it was fun. They played around with it. But getting good results from it was challenging, just because you've still got an engineering tool there, one that's used, obviously, to create a wonderful new things. But you have to have a little bit of willingness to try and fail, to get a little dirty, to mess up a few times before you can get proficient. And every time then you try and use maybe a new material or a new method to create something, then again, you've got to learn it. So although the price is definitely right down there at around the price of a laptop, I think you're not going to find as much adoption until it has that ability just to point and click or to press and go.
I am not very well informed about high fashion, but when I was looking up doing research on the Iris Van Herpen exhibition, the 3D printed garments I found really interesting, kind of something you might expect to see coming down the catwalk. Sure. Is this just one of these interesting experiments, or is 3D likely to have a major role in something like manufacturing clothing?
Well, I guess how does one 3D print clothing? One can simply say, well, you do already. It's called knitting. And, you know, knitting is basically the same idea of basically putting layers of material up on top of each other. But certainly Iris Van Herpen was the first, and some of her early garments were very, very beautiful, very sculptural. I didn't see them as really quite wearable, though. You know,
right.
It was, as you said, it's great for the catwalk, not really good for the sidewalk. So, but what we have seen, however, is there's been a change in material. So the materials now are, you can get much more flexible materials that you can 3D print. And also, there is hybridization, so that you get the ability to perhaps take a 3D printer and add the output of a 3D printer with the output of a 3D knitter, or maybe with a woven. I've seen some beautiful designs which are simply just, there are labels on top of caps or on top of baseball caps, or are they just add-ons on top of sneakers? Maybe the 3D printer will be the great accessorizer, whereas, you know, you've got basic cut and sew to produce fashion, and then maybe the 3D printing can give you a lovely clasp or a brooch or a shoulder pad or structure where you need it. I wonder what, I think initially we're going to see it as a hybrid, whereas you can use a little bit of 3D printing and add that onto our existing cut and sew processes for making garments. Because at the moment, although yes, you can make garments, and I've seen a few of the latest ones where they have a lot more drape, there's still nothing like the ease of production and the ease of wear that you get with our regular clothing.
As you mentioned, we're using more materials in these 3D printers than before. I'm wondering what's possible now for different industries, since we're not just limited to this kind of melted plastic thing, that it goes beyond that.
They've 3D printed guns that work. GE has been 3D printing jet engines, so those work. We have recently seen, actually one of my most recent ones was, I saw a cup that looked like a regular ceramic cup that was 3D printed. It was glazed and looked like an everyday sort of cup that you would throw on a potter's wheel. And it was made out of 3D printing. So we've seen ceramics. We've seen glass as well. I've seen 3D printed glass. I've seen coffee-loaded wood particles. I've seen carbon fiber. There are very few materials out there now which you can't in some way 3D print. Sometimes you need a little bit of glue. So in depositing the layer, as you sort of build up that product in three dimensions, you'll often need a plastic or polymer as a way of binding it all together, which can often then be removed by heating or dissolving. So sometimes, you know, with the first time they used metal, what they did was they used metal with a polymer glue. So you'd lay it down, metal particles in a polymer glue, and then you'd heat it up. And in heating up, all of the polymer would get burned off, and the metal itself would consolidate. You'd end up with a solid object. But now the 3D printers are good enough that they have enough power, they can just deposit metal straight down. So there isn't really much you can't print with a 3D printer nowadays.
Yeah, you just mentioned several examples. I know you work with businesses and their use of with material. What do you think we'll be seeing soon?
Well, we've seen cars. So we've seen houses. The house one was an interesting one because what they're doing is they're taking the idea of concrete, and then instead of mixing it up in a cement mixer and then pouring it out, they mix it up in a machine and then squeeze it out like a toothpaste tube. Like you're squeezing out a toothpaste, and it cures as it goes round, and you end up with the main structure of a house. So you can 3D print a house. We've also seen, and this one I think is fascinating, is 3D printing always used to be within a box. So the idea of a printer is that you've got this plastic box and you print things. So you're always limited by size. Some of the most recent printers take a printer and instead of encompassing it in a box, put it on a robot. And once you move it outside of the box, you can then print any size you like. To the extent of which I've seen printers that are on robots that can, once they've printed, let's say, the first area of an object, can climb up onto that object, and then as it grows, climb up with it. So you can build potentially unlimited sizes because you no longer have a box in which it's contained. It can now build and then climb up onto that structure and build again and do again and again. So we're not limited by size anymore.
You're kind of blowing my mind right now.
So I think what's fascinating is one of the main things, we've moved beyond the box. And I think one of the most fascinating things, is the way Iris and Van Herpen came to this, is you are taking the ability to manufacture away from large-scale industry and putting it in the hands of individuals. It's amazing when you see kids at some of these 3D printing shows, and they suddenly realize they can make things. They can make things that normally they would have to go out to a store to buy. So you can try an action figure in three different poses. You can do it in three different colors. You can add on a helmet. You can play with making, but it allows a level of creativity we have not been able to do before. So someone with a 3D printer can start making things and start creating right off the bat, whereas typically you'd have to go to a manufacturer, get a prototype, and then use a large machine to have it made. Now you're having the making ability in regular people's hands, and that is really what's led to the explosion of the industry, is that if you left it in the hands of the engineers, they would have simply iterated. They would have made better quality prototypes. But you put it in the hands of designers and creators like Iris Van Herpen, and who knows where it's going to go. And that, I think, is what's really caused the revolution and what's made it expand so fast.
That is Andrew Dent. He will be appearing at the Grand Rapids Art Museum on November 9th at 7 o'clock to talk about additive manufacturing and the future of how we make things. We've been referencing Iris Van Herpen's Transforming Fashion exhibit. That starts October 23rd and runs through January 15th of 17. Dr. Dent, thanks very much for talking with us about this. This is pretty fascinating stuff.
Thank you, Lester. Good talking to you.